And he was teaching basically that when you're in the world, there's never enough. But because the rivers run into the sea and the sea is not full, the flesh is never satisfied, the human heart is never satisfied. But when they left Egypt, came out of the world, and went into a new relationship with God in a transitional period when God was providing them with manna, he labels that as just enough and communicated that very well. And it is self-evident, and it resonates with us, and we see it and we understand it. And then passing over Jordan and into the land of promise, the land of more than enough. And that's the purpose of God for Israel in the original or the primary sense there in the Exodus. I don't think that you do any violence to the scripture at all when you understand that that was given to us. Paul said these things were done as in samples unto us. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And these are our instructions, or this is an example to us. And while I'm considering this tonight, while I was in the service last week, felt the Holy Ghost say that as they came out of Egypt, God opened the spiritual dynamic and let them pass out. And when they entered into promise, likewise, God opened a spiritual dynamic. It was a physical people, a natural people passing out of Egypt and into God's plan, out of the wilderness and into promise. But in each instance, God opens the spiritual dynamic. It is demonstrated by the opening of the Red Sea on one end and the opening of the Jordan River at flood tide on the other end. But nonetheless, God opened up a brand new season in their life by opening a spiritual dynamic. I'm going to read tonight from Joshua chapter 3. And this is Joshua's instructions per the instructions of God to the people of God. And I could just tell you in one sentence what God told me, and we could go home. But we may want to walk through this and walk up and down in it just a minute or two. Joshua chapter 3, and beginning in verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, as I move into the promise of God, God's promise goes before me. His word, his authority, his provision, and the Shekinah glory of God. He goes before us. Praise God. Tell him, don't be afraid. God has it all in his hand. And then verse 12, now take 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of your feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. They step into that water, and as they do, there's a demarcation, and the waters of Jordan, and it's the flood season, they just stack up, and everything downstream flows on downstream, and they're going to cross over. This is the opening of a physical barrier, the River Jordan, but it's also the opening of a spiritual dynamic. They are moving into another season, and they won't ever be the same again. And it came to pass, verse 14, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, that the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up and heap very far from the city of Adam, that is Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. God bless you. If you love His word tonight, let's give Him praise and thanks and magnify Him. Lord God, we believe Your word. We trust You tonight. We thank You, Lord God, for the privilege of handling Your word in this house. We bless Your name. We praise Your name. We lift Your name, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. And so, tonight, just to talk about that opening of a spiritual dynamic for just a moment tonight. When Brother Raleigh was with us, I remarked to our Saturday night group an introduction of him, some of the basic things that we do here. And Brother Raleigh's comments, I think, were very timely, and his ministry was very, very seasonal for us. And I'm already seeing some things happen and some things moving. Now, I'm going to give you the crux of this. You can see how God brought you out. Can you see that? How many of you see the miracle of your deliverance out of Egypt and what God did? How many of you look back on that and say, my, that was the hand of God. That was absolutely God that did that work. How many of you know that if it hadn't been for God tearing open something in the spirit, that you'd have never made it over. You'd have never made your way into the kingdom of God. Sometimes you don't see it when it's happening, and sometimes you don't understand it when it's happening, but it's the same way now as we move into the promise of God. Where you are and the obstacles look so large, or they loom so large before you perhaps now, when you dream about what it can be like in the kingdom of God, or you've already gotten a vision from God and you just don't see how you're going to move from where you are into the full orbed vision of God. But you need to understand, and the same God that opened the dynamic when you came out of Egypt and bought your soul, set you free, and filled you with the Holy Ghost, transformed your mind and your life, He is the same God that's going to say, now we're moving in here. Let these waters stand up. Let these waters pass by. Nothing is too hard for God. And so we have to walk. We're not just interested in coming out. This is about coming out, but it's about going in. It's not about looking back. It's about looking on. It's not about rules and regulations and religion and making sure I live in this little cookie cutter box and I follow all these rules and somehow that's salvation. That is not salvation. He said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. This is about life and this is about vision and this is about tomorrow in the kingdom of God and what God's going to do in you. And of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. God's kingdom keeps on growing. It keeps on growing in individuals. It keeps on growing in families. It's the will of God for you to have a better day tomorrow than you had today, and to see more of God tomorrow than you saw today. And the best days are not behind us, but the best days are yet to come. God saves the best for last. Praise God. And we believe here that everybody's a minister. We believe that your salvation and your ministry or mission are inextricably linked. They are non-detachable, that you can't have one without the other, because God didn't save you just to look pretty and to sit somewhere. And here in this American experience, sit and gain and glean all the blessings of God. But God brought you into the kingdom, and automatically it was the design of God for you to touch somebody else and bless somebody else. And it is the covenant of Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you are going to be a blessing. It's a prophecy. If you've got the Holy Ghost, it's in you. It's moving in you. You are destined to be a blessing to someone else. And along the way, God's going to give you what you need to bless someone else. But it's not about you getting your blessing. It's about you being a blessing. It's about you touching and strengthening and blessing somebody else. Praise God. So as we're considering this, and as we're looking at Abraham, there's this interesting passage where Abraham just gets up and he gets news that the kings of some surrounding kingdoms have come down into the valley area where Lot, his nephew, was living at a place called Sodom. And the armies of those kings, several nations together, took the king of Sodom, Lot, and all his family, and all the inhabitants captive, and they spoiled the cities of the plain. Well, Abraham wouldn't have moved on that except for the fact his nephew was in that crowd. And so Abraham got up, and Abraham, and I'm telling you this to tell you that this is a deeply spiritual experience that we're having. This is profoundly spiritual, but it also has profoundly practical applications. Living for God affects everything that you do. The work of your hands, the way that you go, your vocation, and the way that you live in this natural life. Abraham got up. He got 400 trained servants. He armed them. They went down and overtook and destroyed the armies of those marauding kings. They retrieved everything and everybody that had been taken captive. I just want you to know, God has a plan for you, and his plan for you is that in practical ways and in natural ways that you be situated, that you are not vulnerable to anybody, some whim of someone around you, but that you stand in the strength of the blessing of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. And that you have everything that you need. The Word of God says that he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So he's given you all you need to be godly, but he's given you all that you need to live life and life more abundantly. Now, after Abraham had overtaken and recovered these possessions and these people and all of this, the king of Sodom came to him and said, I want to give you a reward for delivering us. I want to give you something. And Abraham said, nope, I'm not going to take one shoe latchet from you. I won't take a shoestring from you, lest you go and you say that I made Abraham wealthy. He said, I want you to understand, and I want everybody to understand that what I have and who I am and what I'll be and all my possessions, that they come from the hand of God. It's not from the hand of man, but it's from, these are profound statements. This is a very important moment in the story of Abraham. He is powerful. He is blessed of God. He is a blessing to others. He can exert his influence at will in his world. And he defies someone else to say that they have put him in that position or that they have blessed him. And in that same account, not only does he refuse the grant from the world, but he also meets Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a theophany. Melchizedek is the prince of Salem, or if you would, the prince of peace. Now, if you're familiar with Isaiah 9 and 6, you know that Jesus is the prince of peace. And so he meets God in theophany form, and he pays tithes to God. And in doing so, he says, everything I have comes from you. And the tithe is yours, and it's a representation of the total, not only of my possessions, but all that I am as a man and in my life. And these are profound statements. I am not defined by the king of Sodom. I'm not defined by the gift of the world. I'm not defined by the whim of those around me. I am secure, and I am blessed of God, and I am self-determining within the construct of God's will and plan for my life. And he meets Melchizedek, and he's got all these things in place, and he's blessed to be a blessing, and he is self-sufficient, and he's not living at the whim of some boss or some institution or what some bureaucrat thinks or what some government official has to say. The kingdom of God has come into this world like a missile, like a stone cut out of a mountain without hands. It is striking the image of all the kingdoms of the world at their feet. They are going down, but the kingdom of God is ascending. It is ascending right now. We have gotten in on something, and there is a tremendous updraft. I feel it in this house tonight. And everything that God touches is going to get better. And everything God touches is going to get stronger. And God's going to work his will in your home and in your life and in your family. Somebody say praise the Lord. So then as we're pursuing this, it resonates with us that we should seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. But as Brother Rowley pointed out to us in discussions, there are other things. There are second things. If you seek first the kingdom of God, there are other things that you seek. You seek vocation. You seek employment. You seek a place to ply your trade and your craft, and there are possessions that you may seek, and there are situations that you may look to in your life. And in Ecclesiastes 10 and 19, a feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. And so then money becomes secondary to the kingdom of God, but it sure is nice to have it. Don't be ashamed to say amen. Somebody say amen. Abraham did not arm 400 men and go beat up the nations that came against Lot's neighborhood without having the resources with which to do that. So, as we make our way into this discussion tonight, we touch on some of these classic passages. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This I say, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Look at your neighbor, big smile. I love to give to the kingdom of God. Now, we already took up an offering. I'm not taking up an offering tonight. I'm just telling you that Abraham was positioned, and he was able, and he was a deliverer, and he was profoundly spiritual. But he was also very, very stable in his natural life also. And that was all due to the blessing of God in his life. Isaiah 1 and 19, if you be willing and obedient. Say, if I am willing and obedient, I shall eat the good of the land. Praise God. Anybody here willing? Anybody here obedient to God? Turn to somebody and tell them, I'm going to eat the good of the land. The word of God says it. It's already settled in heaven. It can't be changed. Something good is already percolating out there for you, for me. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. And then Luke 18. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, parents, brethren, wife, children, for the kingdom of God's sake. Anybody here left anything for the kingdom of God's sake? And he said, who shall not receive manifold mold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. So God has a blessing that is still tethered to this natural experience. There is something that is in the kingdom's workings that God is committed to. He's going to bless you in your natural life. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're not ashamed of it. We're not afraid of it. And if we're going to go where God's called us to go, and if we're going to be a blessing to everybody around us, we got to get into the idea and the mindset of walking up and down in the blessing of God and embracing the blessing of God. Somebody say praise God. So, as I was pondering Brother Rowley's presentation, then I heard in the Holy Ghost that when you move out of the land of never enough, there is an opening of a spiritual dynamic. When you move out of Egypt and into the plan of God, there is an opening, a tearing, a setting apart of, in the Red Sea, it was a natural barrier. And it was a natural deliverance. But in the spirit, there was an opening, and they crossed over out of bondage and into liberty, out of Pharaoh's house and into God's plan, distinct and powerful and life transforming. And it's exactly the same thing when they moved out of the land of just enough, or that period of transition in the wilderness with God and with the manna and all the miracles around them. This was a wonderful time, but in terms of natural provision, it was just enough. But when they got ready to move from just enough to more than enough, there was another breaking of a spiritual dynamic. There was another parting of a watery body. A physical barrier was open, but also a breach in a spiritual entity also took place. An opening in a spiritual dynamic. Praise God. And so with this overlaying idea over the story of the Exodus and the moving of God's people into promise, they come out of the land of Egypt, or the land of never enough. They make the Exodus, and God opens up the Red Sea, and they go to Sinai, and at Sinai they get the law and the tabernacle and the priesthood and the sacrificial schedule and all the things that are going to make them the covenantal people of God. But that's the land of just enough, and they're going to be moving on. But in that transition period, God anoints the 70. And when he anoints the 70, the Spirit of God fills them. And those 70 are like Moses now. The Spirit of Moses, the Spirit of God is in them and on them. And they run through the camp testifying and prophesying. All of the 70 begin to prophesy. And two of them, by the name of Eldad and Medad, just did like Pentecostals have always done. They just took off running, and they ran into the camp, and they started prophesying. Joshua was a little worried about it. He was more into form and structure, and he said, Lord, talking to Moses, make them stop. And Moses makes this profound and prophetic statement. He said, I would to God that all of God's people were prophets. And he's not just wishing, and he's not just hoping, and he's not just daydreaming, but he's prophesying. It is the will of God for all of God's people to be filled with his spirit, and all of God's people to be speaking the tenets of the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. And as he does that, he's going to fashion this nation of Israel into an incredible entity in the earth that the earth has never seen. Exodus 19, beginning in verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Everybody say, all the earth is his. Touch your neighbor and tell him, my daddy owns it all. Come on, somebody say, by the name of Jesus, everything here belongs to my God, and so it belongs to his wife, and it belongs to his kids. Everything you need, God has it already. Quit worrying about what you don't have. Start praising your God that has it all. For the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. And you see this as they're moving through this template, and as they move through this Exodus journey and through Sinai, you can begin to see the plan of God taking shape and being disclosed, that God wants Israel to be a kingdom of priests. Priest is a mediatorial position. A priest stands before humanity and represents God to humanity, or is the emissary by which humanity comes to God. And they minister for God to men, and they bring men to God. And he wanted Israel to be that. I want you to understand that when the scripture says you are kings and priests, that you are royal generation, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. He's telling you that as it was for Israel, so is the intent of God for his church today, that you be a nation of priests in the earth to lead men to God and to bring God to men and to be a place where the two can come together. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's a powerful image there when the priest is offering up the incense at the veil that separates the sanctuary from the Holy of Holies. And that smoke is wafting out, back out into the court of the Gentiles and the outer courts where the people are. And it's moving, billowing into where the Shekinah glory of God is. And by the incense, those two worlds are brought together. That's what your prayer is. That's what your praise is. When you're losing yourself in the Holy Ghost and the devil or the flesh is telling you this is a waste of time, you don't know what you're doing, I don't know that you're accomplishing anything, I want you to know you're lifting up precious incense into the presence of God, and it's billowing out into the city, and it's billowing into the presence of God, and it's bringing the two together, and you are a royal priesthood. And it's the will of God that you be an intermediary between God and between men. Praise God. Everybody say we're blessed to be a blessing. And I'm telling you, the land of Canaan was a land of more than enough. I agree. And as I was pondering that, I'm thinking about new life in the next season. I'm thinking about new life in the next iteration, the next generation. I'm thinking in terms of where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing and the teams and the ministries, and I'm seeing buses and I'm seeing vans and I'm seeing, I don't know what I'm seeing, either a hole in this wall in a building here or church up on a hill out in Roebuck. And frankly, I don't care which one, but either one of those presents some really interesting obstacles. And so every step we take requires the opening of a spiritual dynamic, requires a miraculous move of God. But as you're looking at it, it seems daunting, but look back over your shoulder and remember what God's already done. Everybody that's had a miracle in your life already, give God some praise. Everybody that's had miraculous deliverance, give God some praise. And you need to be like David, and you need to, as you're looking at the giant, you need to be able to say, I'm not worried about the giant. God killed a lion, and God killed a bear, and God's going to take care of this present situation. Praise God. Praise God. So it's good to look back over your shoulder at what God has already done in order to understand what he's going to do in this new moment, because now these new obstacles seem daunting and they seem of great challenge because you've never been there before. And it seems bigger. And as we go further, the obstacles get bigger, but the potential and the possibilities get bigger also. Praise God. So when they're coming out of Egypt, out of the land of never enough, there are impossible challenges. The logistics alone, how do you get that many people out into the wilderness and feed them and water them? How do you get them across the Red Sea? Who's going to open the Red Sea? What are they going to eat? All of those questions, and there are gigantic logistical questions, and how will we perform this? But God takes care of it all, and there's miraculous provision, and there's opening of the Red Sea, and God delivers them, and Pharaoh's coming, but that's not a problem because he buries him under the water of the Red Sea, and God takes care of everything. God takes care of everything. God takes care of everything. He's had it ready from the foundation of the earth. I want to tell you this, when you step into tomorrow, God's already been there. When you find your next need, God's already got the provision there. When you walk into the next challenge, God already looked on that, and God's already made provision. My God, somebody ought to just shout about that a little bit. Praise God. And so God brings them to a place that seems impossible, and it's beyond their natural capacity, and it just undoubtedly requires a miracle. But that's what God does. And he opens the spiritual dynamic, and they come out of bondage, and they move into the area of Sinai and on into their relationship with God. The miracle, however, requires participation. God requires compliance from men. The reason that miracles don't happen everywhere is because people everywhere aren't participating with the plan of God. I would suggest to you that the more participation God gets out of humanity, the more miracles he's going to unleash. The greater degree of your participation, the greater the witness of the miraculous in your life. Does that just seem to make common spiritual sense to you? Praise God. So they're coming out of Egypt. They've got to pack up. They've got to get ready. They've got to kill a Passover lamb. They've got to put blood on the doorpost. Don't be waiting for God to do the miracle. You do what God's already. I'm really talking right in the middle of somebody's wheelhouse right now. Don't wait for God to do the miracle. You do what God's already told you to do. Don't wait for God right now. You get to packing. You kill the Passover lamb. You go ahead and get baptized. You go ahead and get the Holy Ghost. You go ahead and say yes to God. You go ahead and get your life in order. That's the way this sequence works. Eat all the Passover lamb, head, legs, pertinence thereof, the parts you like and the parts are nasty to you, the parts you like and the parts you don't like. Eat it all. What does that mean, Brother Sutton? That means do everything the Word of God says. Some of it is going to be revolting to you. Some of it you don't understand. Some of it seems foreign and seems strange. But if it's in the Word of God and it's the plan of God, get about doing it, because your spiritual dynamic is there and it's not going to open until you are compliant with the Word of God. This is in terms of our corporate experience as a church, and this is in terms of your life as an individual. Don't be sandbagging God and think God's going to uncork miracles in your life. They've got to walk out of their homes. They got to leave everything they've known behind them. They've been there for 400 years, but they're ready for something new in the kingdom of God, and you've got to get your mind turned in that direction and be ready. For anybody ready for the next challenge, for the next exciting season, for the next thing God's going to do? My God, I stood in the foyer today and I told Martine, what I'd really like to do. I'd like for this building to be Nueva Vida. And I'd like for New Life to be on the hill down here. You say, well, Brother Sutton, you're crazy. I don't know if I'm crazy or not, but I know God owns it all and God can do it all. They have to walk out. They have to walk through the miracle. They have to walk in the miracle. They have to celebrate on the banks of the Red Sea. They've got to follow Moses onto Sinai and wait and be patient while he goes up into the mist and the glory of God on that mountain and brings the word of God back down. They've got to stand on the right side of the line that Moses drew around the mountain and stuff on this side of the line and stuff on that side of the line look exactly the same. But here's where Moses drew the line, and God said, don't let them touch the mountain. And he said, well, here's where the mountain starts. Moses just arbitrarily, subjectively decided that. And the people said, if we're going to say amen, we got to stand on Moses' side of the mountain. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm just telling you some of the things that occur to me as I'm looking at this people, this miraculous people walking through this miraculous journey, following after this miraculous God. And I want to be that people, and I want to follow that God, and I want to see what God has for us. Praise God. So they have to respect the line, and they have to receive the word, and they have to implement the plan. They have to build their encampment just as God said. They have to order their house just like God said. They have to build the tabernacle. They've got to have a place of worship just like God said. And they have to create the culture that God told them about. They have to become another people. God gives them everything for a ready-made nation when he gives that law to Moses on the mountaintop. And they come in and they don't bring Egyptian culture into God's house. They sadly do, but that's not the plan of God. The plan of God is for God to give you the parameters of a new culture and for you to come in and assimilate into that culture and to embrace the culture of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, I want to be the people of God. I want us to be the people of God because I want to see what's next, and I want God to be able to do what he wants to do if he could just find somebody that would say yes to God. Praise God. And so as they're moving out of Egypt, they need a miracle. They need the opening of a spiritual dynamic. As they're moving into promise or into the land of more than enough, there are impossible challenges. There are things that have to happen that are beyond their capacity. They are in need of a miracle. They need the opening of a spiritual dynamic. And I can't tell you at what level this struck me as I was contemplating Brother Raleigh's ministry, but I'm looking at what is coming, what I see this church doing, and I see you becoming. And it occurs to me that God's going to open a spiritual dynamic, and he's going to let us through, and he's going to take us over, and we're going to step over into that. And if you needed any verification for that, just remember what he's already done and how he's already brought you out and how it took a miracle to get you where you are right now. That same God, that same miraculous power is right here at this point, about to dawn a new season for this church family. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, I so undersell things, because I don't want you to just be all hyped and wild and crazy. I want you to understand why you're hyped and wild and crazy. You understand me? Praise God. But I'm just telling you what resonated in my heart with the Holy Ghost just last week. We are there, church. We are right there. And now somebody individually, that whole nation began to pick them up and put them down and move inexorably in the direction of that miracle that God was not distracted, not involved in this and scattered there and preoccupied here and missing the point of God's word there, but collectively moving toward the promise of God. Praise God. Doesn't take many. Doesn't take but a handful. As this happens, natural possibilities are going to open. Spiritual possibilities are going to open. Had we read it all, they had a man out of each of the 12 tribes take a stone out of the bottom of that river, and they built a 12-stone memorial at Gilgal in the visible. And they built a 12-stone memorial in the river bottom, and the waters were going to close back over that. And that is powerfully significant of memorials in the visible and in the invisible. I want to tell you that we have to have the invisible memorial in place in order to walk into the promise of God. For every victory you see, for every natural manifestation of the kingdom of God you see, there is an invisible, there is a deeply spiritual victory, a deeply spiritual commitment. For all of these that are being baptized today, and the good things are happening in the kingdom of God, and the miracles that are happening in your life, somebody's in a prayer room, somebody's praying a prayer, somebody's making a commitment, somebody's believing God, somebody's standing on the word of God. You understand what I mean? For every victory in the visible, there is a victory, a corresponding victory in the invisible or in the deeply spiritual. Praise God. And so these are things that we can do. I can't open the Red Sea. I can't open the Jordan. And I can't open the dynamic that needs to be open for us as families and as a church family to move on into the next season. But I can take care of the business that God has already given us. I can tighten up my ship. I can tighten up my life. I can say, Lord, tell me what else do I need to do. God, tell me what else I need to be a part of. Tell me how else I can please you, how I can draw closer to you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Listen, when we're handling things like this, you want to be involved in prayer more than you're involved in video games. You gotta get me on this. You wanna be involved in seeking the face of God, in teaching Bible studies, in witnessing to somebody more than you're involved in some natural pursuit of something that has no real significance. You understand what I'm saying? This is a trumpet call. This is a clarion call tonight that says, let's get our focus. Let's get our mind on Jesus, and let's have church. Let's get our hearts together with God's heart, and let's see what God will do here. It's so easy to drift and become indolent and become distracted and work more. And I don't want to start touching on individual things lest you feel like I'm just coming after you and not anybody else. But there are so many carnal pursuits because we live in a first world country, the new world here, and it's prosperity and everything. We have so many luxuries and we have so many opportunities, and it's so easy to get caught up in what Jesus calls the deceitfulness of riches, and to get caught up in excess. He's teaching about the prophecy in Luke 21, and he says, beware lest you caught up in surfeiting. That surfeiting has nothing to do with waves and boards. It has to do with excess. You want to be careful that you're not caught up in excess. You want to make sure that you got yourself directed toward the things of God, and that you're passionate about the things of God, and that you're paying attention. I'm just telling you, we are at a critical point, a crucial point, a very important point. Israel misses it. Israel gets there to Jordan, and they look at all the obstacles, and they look at the giants, and they look at the land, and they say, this surely is the blessed land God said it was, but we're like grasshoppers. We can't do this. You can't do it. You got to have the miracle of God. But listen to me, and you hear me tonight. Israel misses it. There are seasons of time. There are pivotal moments for individuals and for families and for churches. We are standing at a moment like that right now. We're standing at a place where we need everybody on the banks of the Jordan, everybody facing into promise, nobody looking back to Egypt, nobody distracted, everybody ready. When the word comes down, we're going to set our foot into that river. We're going to cross over. We're going to fight giants. We're going to take houses we didn't build, lands we didn't plant. God's already made provision for us. I know men and I know churches that have missed their time of visitation. Jesus wept over Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you? But you missed, you weren't ready for, you didn't see, you weren't prepared for your time of visitation. God's visiting us right now, New Life. God's visiting us. This is an exciting time. This is a momentous time. This is a wonderful time. I'm looking at these teams. Things are perking. Things are spiraling up into new forms. People are getting the vision. People are walking up and down in it. Folks are taking ownership of the kingdom of God. They're becoming extremely productive in the kingdom. I'm so excited about our young people right now and what God's doing in our young adults. I am just so excited about what God is doing. I tell you, and you can get bogged down in trouble and things you know and failures on people's part. Pastor this church. I know more about the trouble in this church than anybody but God. And I'll tell you this, God is high on his church, and this pastor is high on this church. I believe this is one of those moments where you'll look back and you say, I remember just the day before God pulled the trigger on it. It's about to happen in Birmingham. My God, it's about to happen in New Life. So we're going to take the land. Give your neighbor a high five and say, you got to take the land. Deuteronomy 1:8. Behold, I've set before you the land. Go in, possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them and their seed after them. If you think for a minute that we're torturing the scripture to apply the promise of this people to the church of the living God. The word of God said, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise of God in Abraham belongs to his people. We don't own the land, the natural land of Israel. But friend, we are the spiritual seed of Abraham. And we walk in a lot of these promises. It's just really compelling here tonight. Deuteronomy 1 and 21. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up, possess it. Turn to somebody and just tell them, go up, possess it. As the Lord thy God of the fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Praise God. 40 years later, Joshua 1 and 11, passed through the host, command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over the Jordan to go in and possess the land. 40 years later, God's got a whole new crew, and he's saying, let's get this right now. 40 years before, we stood right at this point, and the people did not have a mind to serve God. They were caught up, and we could list all the things they were caught up in, but they wouldn't go and possess the land. I'm just going to tell you this. Revival's going to happen somewhere. God's going to pull the trigger on this somewhere. God's going to pour out outrageous revival somewhere. And the only difference between that where and this where is what you believe in your heart and in your mind. If God can find a handful of people that'll say, God, if you're going to do it somewhere, do it right here. If you're going to do it with anybody, do it with us. If you're going to do it anytime, do it right now. God, do it in our midst. Somebody say, anybody ready to cross over? Lindsay, come and help. Praise God. So here we are. We are not the first apostolic church in Birmingham, Alabama. We are not the first prayers in Birmingham, Alabama. We are not the first of any of this in this city. But this city has yet to see the revival that God has planned and promised for this. Anybody believe that? Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, it is not the will of God for there to be 4 or 5 50 member churches in the city of Birmingham. It is not the will of God for Alexandria, Louisiana, to have more people in their choir than a church has in the city of Birmingham, Alabama. I'm just going to tell you that right now. If God can do this, God can do it anywhere. This is not a special case. This is not too hard for God. I want you to ask somebody, is anything too hard for God? Answer them. Answer them. Answer them. Answer them. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. And the violent by force. And the violent by force. We're not going to sit passive. We're going to go into the land. We're going to walk up and down in the land. We're going to lay hold to the promise of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now all you honeys and sweethearts, I know how preoccupied you can get with a young lady. And I know how preoccupied you can get with a young man. And that's the will of God. First, let me congratulate you that you are attracted to young men. And likewise, that you are attracted to young ladies. That is the will of God. I may not know much, but I do know that. But here's where you go. If your life is descending into drama and you can't have revival because Sally and you are on the fritz, then it's the wrong relationship. The relationship needs to be rooted in God and anchored to God and deeply committed to God. So your question needs to be, Sally, I'm going to have revival. If you can have revival, we might walk together. But if you're not sold out, if you're not committed to this, we're not going to be able to walk very far together. Somebody say praise the Lord. Young ladies, that needs to be the same routine with you. Praise God. I don't care what he looks like. Does he have a prayer life? I don't care if he's the most beautiful thing that ever walked into your life. And when you see him, your heels click together and you float in the air. He don't know how to pray. He's not the one. He can't go into the land. If he doesn't know how to worship, he's not the one. He can't go into the land. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going. And if he's going to be with me, he's got to go into the land. Somebody say, praise the Lord. My God, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Is anybody going over? Is anybody going over? Is anybody ready to cross on over? The law and the prophets, Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were till John. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. And every man presses into it. It's the language of the tabernacle and the language of the veil. You can go right ahead. Looks like the Supreme Court is in session. They pressed into the veil. And now the gospel is preached and you press into it. It is proactive. It is assertive. It is not passive. If we're a passive church, God's not going to open the spiritual dynamic. You're not going to get it by just ho-hum waiting on God. You're going to get it because you have outrageous worship and you have outrageous prayer and your mind is on God and you believe in God for the next season and you believe in God for the next level and you're ready to move with God to the next dimension. Is anybody ready to step into another dimension with God? Well, praise God. So they, like Abraham, they've got to walk up and down in it. And for us, it's just these basic things that God has given us. What are you doing? We're coming to the house again. What are you doing? We're going to sing the songs again. We're going to pray the prayers again. We're going to worship God again. We're going to do what he's already told us to do. Because when he comes, I want him to find me so doing. In the parable, it said, blessed is that man. Blessed is that servant that the Lord finds so doing. I want God to find me so doing. Because you don't know when he's going to come and say, today's the day that we're going to cross over. And we're not ever coming back. And we're not ever going to be the same. And I'm going to give you everything you need along the way. And I'm bringing you into something that you've never seen before. And you need to begin to be ready to walk up and down in that. Praise God. So right now, I just want somebody. Now, this is striking people in different ways. Somebody in this place, individually, personally, in your family, you need God to open up a spiritual dynamic. You need God to. I want you right now to just step out and begin to walk up and down in the promise of God. Just say yes to what God has promised you. Look back. Somebody needs to look back and say, he brought me out. He kept me. He's pulled the trigger on miracles before. He's going to do this. Somebody brag on God here tonight. Somebody just start talking about how God is able.
In your worship and in your praise, somebody take dominion in the name of Jesus.